Good evening. You are listening to Local Motion on KVNF. For KVNF News, my name is Eric Gould. We'll take a look at the state of local politics in Delta County, the state, and the nation. We'll hear from two Democrats and two Republicans, and we'll discuss issues that are of concern to local party leaders as well as to our national leaders. We'll start with the new chairman of the Delta County Democrats, David Jacobson. At their meeting to elect officers for the party, Jacobson wrote an introductory statement in support of his nomination. He recently read that statement at the KVNF studio.
When I enlisted in the United States Coast Guard, I spent a little over 3 months in boot camp. On one occasion, I and my fellow recruits, after spending the entire day subjected to every form of physical calisthenics known and unknown to most of us, we were awoken by the ungodly sounds of screams, shouts, whistles, garbage can lids being banged, and being told to get dressed and come outside. We were all then subjected to a couple hours of marching, more pain, etc., etc. Then when we returned to our barracks, we saw that every bunk bed, locker, clothes, pillows, and mattresses were strewn everywhere. It was an insane mess, and we were informed we had 30 minutes to get it back to normal, or we would be subjected to more physical pain. At that moment, it was clear that the analogy was, our ship just got hit. We are in a state of emergency, and for the sake of us all, we must work together to save it. It was an amazing thing to witness how natural leaders showed themselves, and within moments chose designated leaders to organize the task at hand. We learned very quickly that each of us had a vital role. Each of us was significant. We learned that there was no time for petty arguments, no time for micromanaging. We had to trust that each of us would do the right thing for the common good. I chose a story as my way of explaining why I want to run as the Delta Dems chair. I truly believe that our democracy is under attack by Republicans and the current administration. I also believe that a little but very powerful Delta Dems has within it an abundance of natural leaders who are ready, willing, and able to do what is needed to prevent our democracy from sinking. I understand that just like the young recruits realized how vital they all were, we also are a vital part of the entire Democratic Party. I'm asking that you, my fellow natural leaders, entrust me with the honor and privilege of being the 2017-2018 designated leader to help keep our Delta Dems ship afloat and on course. Thank you.
The Democrats elected new county officers for the next term. Jacobson was elected chairperson of the party, while Robert Fisk was selected first vice chairperson, and Patty Hart is the second vice chairperson. Wendy Thompson will serve as secretary, and Ann Every will be the treasurer. Elected precinct captains were Sarah Jacobson, Judy Briscoe, Ryan Crick, Deb Fisk, Bob Page, and Janice Phillips.
I believe that most of us Democrats right now, not only here locally but throughout the country, we really do feel our democracy is under attack. Everything that so many of us worked for so many years, we feel is just being undermined and eradicated, and we're very, very concerned.
Delta County voted 69% for Trump. Why do you think that is?
I believe that there was a lot of very, very evil, the things being said about Hillary Clinton at the time. We look back on it, and as a matter of fact, it's interesting you mention that because I was also trying to figure out the same thing, and I started looking back on some of the recordings that during the time, and when you look back on it, and from this perspective, because in the moment we were really involved in the campaign, but then I looked back on these videotapes of watching what was going on in the media, and particularly listening to Trump just berate Hillary. It was unprecedented what we saw in this campaign, and I believe that for some reason, many of these other individuals thought that she wasn't going to be the right person because they thought that she had done something evil. In addition to that, we had a very, very split electorate who just was working with either Bernie Sanders or Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, and they were all looking for an alternative. And some of the people that I know and love wrote in Bernie's name. Or voted for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. So Actually, when you look back on it, Hillary won by 3 million votes, but also over 7 million votes actually went to the other candidates as well. So when you look at it, President Trump actually lost by 10 million votes plus.
And not only in this past election, but historically, not only Delta County, but all of the western slope of Colorado has gone Republican. What do you think that can be attributed to?
I guess we'd have to say that the Democrats haven't been able to get out the message, and that's not being told in a way that people can truly understand. And we have a lot to work on in order to convince many of our fellow citizens that what the Republicans are doing is wrong. One of the things I would mention is that, and one of the things that confuses me is when I listen to some of my Republican friends talking about their beliefs and how much they love our country. And one of the things that confuses me is when you think of, look about it, just the ecological senses, how poisoning our waters. There's so many of my Republican friends who are avid hunters and sportsmen, fishermen. And why would it be okay to poison our drinking water, the waters that they fish in, the waters that they hunt, to see what would happen to deer and elk as they drink the poison water, yet this is something that they support? I don't get that.
And then if you could just in a general way think about your goals and objectives for the Delta County Dems, what are they as you move forward?
Well, right now, what we're trying to do is combat what the Republicans are trying to do. We want to protect the ACA, our rivers and our streams, education, LGBT rights, immigration reform, free speech, free press. We want to prevent the privatization of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. We want to make sure that we protect labor rights, the right to choose, or woman's right to choose, pay equity, and more. And then also what we want to do locally is we want to work with a lot of the organizations in the area here, the Indivisible organization, and we want to Resist organization, and we also want to support our Democratic representatives like Millie Hamner, Kerry Donovan, and Michael Bennett.
Everyone is talking about the executive orders that President Trump has issued. You've been an employer and in business in Delta County for a long time. Do you believe that Delta County has a problem with illegal immigration?
No.
And have you heard from any of your fellow Democrats about how angry they are about the illegal immigration crackdowns that are starting to go down even out here in the Western Slope?
I'll answer that by telling a story. I just heard recently, we had a little get-together with some of our Democratic friends in our organization, and the word is right now currently that many of the children in, for example, in the Delta schools are afraid to go to school because they're afraid that their mother, the father, the grandparents won't be there when they get home. That is a concern.
In this contentious time that we have, do you think a spirit of compromise is possible anymore, or are people just too angry?
I believe that, yes, let me say, just say that, of course, is always, compromise has to be achieved, always. However, there are certain values that we, as Democrats, refuse to give up and refuse to say that we're going to let it go. So with that being in mind, no. We're willing to work with anybody who's willing to support the goals and values that we support.
The Delta County Republicans also recently elected officers for the new term. Roger Bentley remained chairman of the party in a unanimous election. Also elected unanimously were Treasurer Sue Whittlesey and Secretary Betty Oglesby. The new leader on the team is Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee, who was elected vice chairman of the Delta County Republicans. Bonus members Kevin Russling and Tom Howell were elected to serve on the Central Committee. In a phone interview with KVNF News, Chairman Roger Bentley talked about his goals for the Delta County Republicans going forward.
My goals for the party is to put a united front in front of the public so that people have something to tie to, and refine our position statement so that people have something to tie to, and do a good job leading, not dictating.
When you think about Delta County, you know, it's been Republican for a long time, and 69% of Delta County voters voted for Donald Trump. What do you think appealed to Delta County Republicans so much from Mr. Trump?
The stark difference between Trump as a candidate and the many different primary candidates, and then obviously the election candidate that he ran against was such a stark difference that people were ready for that kind of a change.
Why do you think Delta County and the western slope of Colorado, just in general, have been Republican for so long? What kind of values do you think the Republican Party represents that appeals to so much people out here?
I'll have to kind of answer that from my own reasoning. Is because the Republican Party typically stands for reduction of government and the personal responsibility of the individuals. Because I feel like rural America is the most independent of government intrusion, and this is a rural area, so it kind of follows under that heading of we'll take care of ourselves.
And particularly, you know, we have a large church-going population in this county, too, and it seems like a lot of Republicans are churchgoers. Do you think you've seen that in your experience?
I have, and there's a lot of Democrats that are churchgoers as well. My family was traditionally Democratic all the time that I was growing up, but after 8 years of education and seeing different parts of the world and different functions in our society, the Republican values seem to be more in line with my thinking and my values, so I aligned personally with the Republican Party against parental and familial direction that I grew up in.
At the meeting to elect the Central Committee, Republicans voiced their primary concerns to party officials and to Delta County Commissioner Don Supas. Bentley discussed those issues with KVNF News, beginning with the discussion about a contingency plan for the county if an electromagnetic pulse bomb, or EMP, is used against America. Other issues the Republicans discussed were the number of welfare recipients in the county and problems with immigration.
I don't think the EMP is that well understood by most electors in the county. I think it's something that should be put out there in the public more and understand if it is really a threat or if it's a hypothesis. And if it is a threat, should the county take a lead role or should the population take the lead role with the graces of the county? And the welfare across the nation is out of control, and Delta is not exempt from that. Although it goes against a lot of our Republican values, we have a lot of people that are incapable or unwilling to provide for themselves, and the system leaves a lot of room for people to fall into that category. And I'm not sure what leads people to go to the assistance side of things rather than self-existence, but I think we need to figure out or try to figure out a way to employ more people or allow employment to be available to more people if they want to work and get off of the system.
And obviously another issue in the news is immigration. Do you think that Delta County has a problem with illegal immigration?
I do, and I think it's employer enhanced because of the depression that our country is in. We got to get more done with less money. And so if people will work for less money, then employers will employ them and try to beat the system or stay under the radar as best they can. I do not like that personally, but I don't control other people's finances. And illegal immigration should turn into legal immigration. And one of the things that promotes illegal immigration is the welfare status. It's too easy for them to attain assistance, and that's a government problem. And with the systems that should be implemented that are already on the books, it should all be legitimate, above board, and the employers should do their part, and the migrant workers, there's criteria, I'm sure. I haven't read all the documents on it, but my understanding is that there's criteria for migrant workers or temporary farm labor. The service industry needs to be cleaned up, and so that those people work towards citizenship, not dual citizenship, but U.S. citizenship, and become self-sufficient. I grew up in Montrose, and back then, in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, we had a lot of hand labor agriculture in the area at that time, and a lot of that employment was from surrounding Indian reservations, and those people were citizens of America, and they were willing to do those field jobs, and they came to this area, and I'm sure the San Luis Valley, and worked the summers, and then went back to, were escorted back to Mexico, or, I mean, back to their reservations or their homelands here in the United States. And I thought that was a very effective way to get the work done, and those people were willing to do it. But we've let that system fall from those guidelines, so we're kind of stuck in a rut.
You know, it's real contentious times that we live in right now, and I wonder if you think a spirit of compromise is possible anymore, or are people just too angry?
We got to look at the roots documentation on what America is. It's a society of people of independent responsibility. It's a work to eat type of environment, and I don't know if compromise is the right word, or getting back to the rules that are set up or have been in place that we have strayed both directions from. One party has gone a long ways one direction, and the other major party has gone a long ways the other direction. So I don't know if compromise is the answer as much as, if we're going to play by the rules, let's all play by the same rules.
And you are listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Eric Gould for KVNF News. We've just heard from the new leaders of the Delta County Democrats and Republicans. Now we'll shift gears a little bit to statewide and national politics, beginning with an interview with Congressman Scott Tipton. KDNK's Gavin Dahl spoke with Tipton a couple of weeks ago in an in-depth interview that is still timely today.
Have your staffers been hearing from more constituents than usual?
You know, we've had a lot of input coming in from our constituents, and it's really pretty consistent. We have people that are very engaged in our district, and we're always happy to be able to hear from our folks and hear their thoughts.
So the Denver Post editorial board endorsed you in this last election, but they wrote on Tuesday that President Trump's immigration order defies American values. That was the Denver Post. Foreign policy experts, some have said that this could endanger U.S. troops, but you've called for Trump's executive order on immigration to be modified. Can you talk about that?
You bet. I think under President Obama's administration, we'd had testimony that came in from his appointees that we were not able to vet people properly coming into our country. I think that as Americans, we all want to make sure that we are safe and secure. We need to have vetting materials in place to be able to make sure that the people that are coming in for the right reasons. And that is going to be an appropriate response. I think in regards to the executive order, when it was rolled out, we have people in the air. We have people with green cards that certainly ought to be admitted back into the country if they've traveled outside of our borders. And those do need to be addressed. But I think we're all in concert as Americans. We do want to be making sure that our country is safe and secure.
Among the many regulations pushed by President Obama that you'd like to roll back, one that seems peculiar is the rule to limit waste from methane leaks. Can you talk about that one in particular?
You bet. Actually, it's because the state of Colorado has been a model in terms of the methane venting. The EPA, when they had issued their rule, was effectively modeled after the Colorado rule. And we've now seen redundancies that are trying to be coming out of the BLM, which are creating increased costs. If we've got something that is working, let's make sure that we continue to have that happen. And we've had positive results when we look at the statistics coming out of the EPA, when we look at methane release, it's actually dropped over 5.5%. We've seen not only the regulations, but also the industry itself be responding in a responsible way. We'll continue to see new technologies develop, and we ought to encourage that to make sure that we're doing the proper things, not only to be able to create jobs, but to be able to protect our environment.
So KDNK never had an opportunity to speak with you during the campaign, and I just want to take a moment to say thank you, thank you, thank you to your communications director, Liz, for helping us set up this interview. We really appreciate you talking to us. The 7th annual Colorado College State of the Rockies survey results were released Tuesday. The bipartisan survey found that 68% of voters across 7 western states want the new administration's public lands focus to be conservation. And you promised on the campaign trail not to sell off public lands. But this Congress is facing some criticism for changing the way public land is valued. One bill introduced this year seeks to sell 3 million acres of BLM land in, you know, in the western states. Can you explain your position and talk about what the critics are missing?
You know, we're going to be examining different pieces of legislation, portions of which we may agree with and portions we may disagree with. Under the Obama administration, they'd identified parcels that the BLM, the Forest Service, have wanted to use for land exchanges or to dispose of. It maybe was a parcel that had been donated to the United States, or just over the course of history they had acquired that they were not able to manage, that they wanted to be able to dispose of. So there are a lot of elements that we're going to be taking a look at, but we've been very consistent in terms of protecting our public lands, our access to those public lands, and we'll continue to do so.
You know how much that means to listeners in our area. So health insurance is out of reach financially for many of our listeners here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Of course, you've repeatedly voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that's finally really looking like it's going to happen. Can you give us something to look forward to? What's the RNC's plan? Give us some hope here.
You bet. The problem is, under what was labeled as the Affordable Care Act, and Gavin, you identified it, there was no hope. We were seeing our premiums continue to increase. Forecasts for this coming year are another double-digit increase in premiums. Mm-hmm. Visited with a woman down in Ridgeway whose premium now for her health insurance exceeds her mortgage payment, and she had a $7,000 deductible. She made the comment to me that, "I can say I'm insured, but I'm not receiving health care." A broken system. And so we're trying to provide real relief for the American people in terms of the proposals that we're putting forward. Chairman Price, who is currently up for Health and Human Services Secretary, has several plans that he has already put forward in Congress. And it's to be able to allow people to buy across state lines, real groups to form, small businesses to be able to come together, to be able to negotiate lower health care prices, to be able to have people have a real choice in terms of health care rather than government-mandated programs, incentivizing private medical health care savings accounts rather than punishing people for having a private medical health care savings account. Probably have about 3 steps. We've got a reconciliation bill, which is not only the repeal portion but has replacement elements in it. The second step is, once the secretary is approved, if you'd looked at the Affordable Care Act, incredible power was given to the administration to just lay out what is going to be required. You look through the bill, it stated the secretary may, the secretary shall. So we'll be able to have opportunities to be able to put a lot of elements into place through secretarial action. And then the third is going to be through actual legislation to be able to create those opportunities to achieve what I think, as Americans, we all aspire to, irrespective of party. We'd like to see affordability and accessibility when it comes to health care. Unfortunately, under the current law, we have neither.
Part of the problem with the exchanges was that as more and more insurance companies backed out of them, it left, for example, our listeners here in the KDNK listening area with only one choice on the exchange. What can Congress do to apply any sort of pressure toward the insurance companies? Because I think a lot of people perceive that the insurance companies are kind of running Congress, but we want our Congress to run, you know, I mean, not run the insurance companies, but how do we incentivize insurance companies to actually even offer plans?
You point to the very problem with that question, Gavin, of the Affordable Care Act as it was passed into law. The insurance companies were big proponents of this legislation. As it rolled out, they were not achieving the profits they wanted, and we were seeing them pull out of markets. On the West Slope of Colorado, you identify very correctly, we do not have a choice. We have a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Only one opportunity, and we're required by law to buy a program that the federal government lays out and says that we must buy. So let's create those opportunities. We've had conversations with various insurance companies now in terms of giving them the flexibility to be able to create new plans with different offerings, different options for people to have the freedom to be able to choose what suits them. Under current law, you can only write policies that the federal government states that you can write. They set the criteria. Those are the only policies that can be written. So if we free up that marketplace to be able to allow the insurance companies to write different policies to meet different needs for individuals, we'll be able to see real price reductions, real opportunities, real competition, hopefully a variety of options for those of us who happen to live on the West Slope, and to be able to make our own choices and get the government out of the way of that doctor-patient relationship.
That was KDNK's Gavin Dahl interviewing Congressman Scott Tipton. Tipton was in Paonia this past Saturday to participate in a town hall meeting at the Paradise Theater. For KVNF's story on that event, go to kvnf.org. Also at the town hall meeting was State Senator Kerry Donovan, whose district includes one-third of Delta County. On her way to talk with supporters at Revolution Brewing, Donovan, a Democrat, talked with KVNF News about her decision to come to the town hall meeting.
Yeah, I chose to come to Paonia after the invitation from one of my constituents over at Crawford, because I think the primary function of an elected is to be present and receptive and hear what your communities are passionate about and where their concerns are. And the best way to do that is to show up when you're invited. So drove over the pass this morning.
And tell me about some of the things that you heard from the comments that were made that you'll take back with you to the State House.
You know, certainly the comments I heard today that were around, you know, healthcare and the ACA were ones that resonated with me the loudest. Certainly the focus of the comments today were on the federal level. But, you know, the healthcare is one place where the state and the feds overlap in their jurisdiction of where we can have impact. But the other themes were loud and clear as well, right? Oil and gas being responsive to local concerns, the ongoing importance of our air, our water, and our overall environment's health, and how critical that is to our quality of life and to our economy. Heard that loud and clear as well. So it was a room full of passion and people really having some important concerns, and I took lots of notes so that I make sure I didn't miss anything.
How much would you say tensions on the national level are bleeding over into a state level?
At the state, you know, we pass 200 and some laws out of about 600 that are introduced, and some of those laws are the business of doing government. Some of them certainly are important advancements in the state. And so all those laws are passed bipartisanly. I always try to work bipartisan, but I'll tell you where I do get frustrated is when you have a policy like broadband or rural economic development that should not be a partisan vote, and it gets killed on party lines. That's a frustrating experience for me, but the only response to that is to work even harder to try to get the law passed or have an impact in the community in another way if you can't get it passed through law.
Here in Delta County, 69% of the population voted for Trump. Why do you think his message resonated so much out here?
Well, you know, that's a question I think a lot of Democrats are trying to answer, and I certainly am not sure of the answer, but I tell you what, I haven't been focusing on it too much. I view my job as to represent all the constituents of SD5, if they voted for me or not. And I see my role as making sure that the new administration, which half of my district is thrilled about and half of my district is very concerned about, that whatever the policy of the new administrations are, they don't impact Senate District 5 in a negative way. He made some pretty big claims about improving the economy and making sure all of our paychecks are a little bit larger, and I'm going to hold him to the promise, and that's where I see my role.
And you've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. For further coverage of politics and local political leaders, stay tuned to the KVNF Regional Newscast, broadcast daily at 8 a.m. and 5:50 p.m. This has been Local Motion. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.